You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 7th of September, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it seems somebody has actually been jailed for refusing to refer to somebody's chosen pronouns. Now, this has happened in Ireland, and it's not specifically because he has done that, it is because he has defied an order not to turn up at school. But the order to not turn up at school and be suspended from the school is based on the fact that he is sticking to what's on the child's birth certificate. Now, this is what Suella Braverman has spoken about. As far as I'm aware, and I guess this would be the same in Ireland, people are not allowed to change the gender on their birth certificate until they're 18 years of age. And schools and teachers should be referring to the children by what is on their birth certificate, what they're legally known as. Now, you could be courteous and refer to them in the way that they want to be referred in, but would that happen in any other case? I mean, if a child was to say to a teacher, I want to be referred to by my nickname, and it was a silly nickname, would the teacher choose to do that, or would they say, well, no, I have to refer to you by the name that you were actually given? And what's happened here is this teacher has got a deeply held religious belief. He has a conviction that it's wrong to refer to somebody as a different gender, and it's a Christian belief. So this really comes up against the right to express your religious faith. And rather than allowing people the right to express their religious faith, what's going on today? They're trying to rewrite religious faith and prevent people from expressing it. Now, surely people should be able to follow their religion, and people should also be able to express themselves as a different gender if they wish. I don't see why it is that the people that follow the religious faith have to bow down to the needs of those who wish to be transgender. Why can't both just be courteous to one another and be allowed to hold your beliefs? I mean, they're an individual thing. Why is it that the transgenders have to have everybody else go along with what they think is correct? The Christians don't demand that. They don't demand that everybody acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, for instance. It's an individual belief, isn't it? It's not something that you require everybody else to go along with. But getting into this news story here, a teacher who refused to use gender-neutral pronouns for a transgender student has been sent to Mountjoy Prison for contempt of court. Enoch Burke was arrested yesterday morning for breaching a court order not to teach at his Westmeath school or be physically present there. After Judge Michael Quinn made his ruling, Mr. Burke said, "It is insanity that I will be led from this courtroom to a place of incarceration, but I will not give up my Christian beliefs." And he is being persecuted for these Christian beliefs, because that's what's at the root of this. He refused to refer to this child as they. He said he would have to refer to him as a male. And I guess this child is saying that they're gender fluid or something like that, because they're saying they rather than she. And of course, his Christian belief is that man was created male or female. So he's being asked to go against his deeply held beliefs. And because he refused to, they suspended him. And because he turned up at the school, they've now sent him to prison. So at the root of all of this is his Christian beliefs, but they're trying to say, well, this is just because you turned up at school. Counsel for Wilson's Hospital Schools Board of Management said it was with a heavy heart that it sought Mr. Burke's committal to prison, but she said her client had been left with no choice as Mr. Burke continued to attend the school despite the court order which it had obtained last week. So he's continued to turn up there because he wants to teach his students. He must be a very good teacher, I should imagine, because he's also very committed to teaching. The dispute began over his refusal to address a transitioning student as they rather than he, as requested by the student and their parents in May and agreed to by the Church of Ireland school. So the Church of Ireland is going against the church's teaching here as well. And it's also, I mean, it's going beyond what the Bible states, isn't it? The Bible states there are two genders and this transitioning student is not asking to be referred to as the opposite gender, but as an intersex being, an indeterminate gender. This escalated to his suspension on the day before the start of the autumn term, pending the outcome of a disciplinary process. So this has only just taken place, but I should imagine more of these court cases are going to keep happening. He had refused to remain away from the school on paid leave for that suspension, the court heard, and would sit in an empty classroom declaring that he was there to work. So I say he's very conscientious here. He's obviously trying to help the students. And his argument is that because this suspension says that it's gross misconduct, it's not gross misconduct to hold your Christian belief. And you would not expect Muslims to do something like this. They wouldn't expect Muslims to do this. So why are they expecting a Christian to do this? Muslims, the Islamic faith is respected, isn't it? If you're a Muslim, you're allowed to go off and hold your prayers. You're allowed to have your special food in the canteen. But if you're a Christian, you are expected to go along with things that your faith tells you that you should not go along with. Mr. Burke told Judge Quinn, "I am a teacher and I do not want to go to prison. I want to be in my classroom today. That is where I was this morning when I was arrested." And imagine what that was like for the school as well, seeing the police there, seeing their teacher arrested. He said he loved his students, to whom he teaches Germany, history and politics, as well as debating. So it's not like he's teaching anything to do with sex education or anything where gender is going to come up. It's purely the way that he was addressing the child. And he was addressing the child correctly within the law, because that's what's on the child's birth certificate. He said, "I love my school with its motto, res non verba, actions not words. But I'm here today because I said I would not call a boy a girl." And that is a very good motto. I think that goes back to Alfred the Great saying that we should express Christianity by actions and not words. He added, "Transgenderism is against my Christian belief. It is contrary to the scriptures, contrary to the ethos of the Church of Ireland and of my school." And this is similar to the news story we had yesterday. It is contrary to what the church teaches and Christianity, but now we have the churches apparently going back on their teaching. The representatives of the church say, "Well, we have to do this. It's 2022, don't you know? It's current year. We have to promote transgenderism." Yet all the teachings of the Church of Ireland and the Church of England are against it, and the Bible is against it. So you have the representatives of the church encouraging this, and yet the people that actually teach what the church's instruction is on this, they end up being penalised and told that they're a danger to the church. Referring to his suspension, Mr. Burke said, "It is extraordinary and reprehensible that someone's religious beliefs on this matter could ever be taken as grounds for an allegation of misconduct. My religious beliefs are not misconduct. They are not gross misconduct, and they never will be. They are dear to me. I will never deny them and never betray them, and I will never bow to an order that would require me to do so. It is just not possible for me to do that." So that's the heart of this. Because he was suspended and they said it was gross misconduct, how can it be gross misconduct? Just expressing your deeply held Christian convictions. How can it be gross misconduct to be at a Christian school, a Church of Ireland school, and be teaching the Church of Ireland's teaching on this subject? He described his suspension as unreasonable, unjust, and unfair. He added, "There has been a dumbing down of the seriousness of suspension. It is a serious step." So I guess he's saying that, you know, they could have given him a verbal warning or something like that. But to actually suspend him is going to look terrible on his record. It has tarnished my good character and my good name, particularly in the profession of a teacher, where one is so close to a large number of members of the local community. It leaves a stain on what has been for me an unblemished teaching record. Mr. Burke said he had a wonderful relationship with his pupils, who knew him as a man of professed morals and convictions. So he is showing with his actions that he has character, that he sticks to his word, that he is not going to compromise his morals, he's not going to compromise his Christian beliefs, and that is a good example to set. That is the example that all nationalists should be setting. We should be showing that we have morals, and we should be showing that we have convictions, and that we act in the correct way, and we also do not compromise on acting in the correct way. And we should show people that we are good people and we care about society. And that is why we are the way we are. Clearly, this man is a good man. He cares about his pupils. He cares about society. And he is expressing Christianity in the way that Christianity should be expressed. He asked how he could return to school and bow to something he believed to be manifestly wrong, which he also described as a violation of my conscience. Mr. Burke told the court that he believed that around this country, teachers are being forced to participate. They are being forced to use the pronoun they instead of he or she. So, so many people are being forced to go against their conscience here, because transgenderism trumps religion. And that's basically what this boils down to. And both of them should be protected. I mean, if you're a transgender, you should have these protections. If you're a Christian, you should also have protections. And then you get into this issue of children. But children cannot change what's on their birth certificate, as Suella Braverman has pointed out. So these schools should, by default, be referring to the student by what is on the birth certificate. And that's the legal position. Yet they're not. And if they don't choose to do that, then they could. It should just be a matter of courtesy. If somebody wants to be courteous, then they could refer to the child by the chosen gender, but they should not be forced to. Rosemary Mallon, BL, for the Board of Management, told Judge Michael Quinn that her client had no choice but to ask the court to send Burke to prison for breach of a court order. It is a coercive order we are seeking, not a punitive order. We are simply seeking to have Mr. Burke comply with the order. So they're seeking to blackmail him into going along with what the school is trying to get him to go along with. Mr. Burke is knowingly in breach of this order. He is therefore in contempt, and he has made it clear that if he is not committed to prison, he will attend the school today. And the concerns of the school regarding the ongoing disruption to the students remain, she added. Well, what about the disruption of their favourite teacher not being there? Because of this, the whole class is going to be missing out on the education that he would be giving them. She noted that Mr. Burke could make his arguments at court tomorrow, when the injunction obtained last week is due to be reviewed, and at the school's disciplinary hearing this month. Judge Quinn said he was not ruling on the merits of Mr. Burke's arguments regarding his religious belief or his suspension, but merely on the question of whether there had been a willful breach of a court order. But the court order should not have been made in the first place. That's the point. He said that Mr. Burke could purge his contempt at any stage by agreeing to the order not to attend the school or attempting to teach there. And Mr. Burke was accompanied to court by four guardi, his father Sean and his brother Isaac. And I think really this is helping to draw attention to this as well. I mean, if he'd just been suspended from the school and hadn't actually turned up, then nobody would be hearing about it. But because he has turned up, it's now got in all the papers. I mean, this is national news. It's in all the newspapers, drawing attention to this, and the fact that if you don't refer to somebody by their chosen pronouns, you can be arrested and thrown in jail. Well, changing the subject here now, I want to head over to America to catch up with what's happening in the universities there, where they are promoting diversity above merit and qualifications. And obviously, because of that, the standards are dropping. And we know they've been doing this with the admissions. We know they've been doing this in Britain. They've been lowering the standards that are there for people to get into university so they can increase the diversity quota, so they can get more people in there that have a lower IQ, basically. But they've also been doing this with the people that the universities hire. So instead of having the very best professors teaching on a subject, you have professors there that are there because they've taken part in anti-racist initiatives. Higher education institutions have implemented diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives to vet students and faculty rather than evaluating them on their merits. And again, this is now starting to make its way into the mainstream, and it's things that we've been talking about here at Radio Albion for years. Universities have included different DEI initiatives, including axing standardized test requirements, mandating DEI statements in applications and curriculum requirements. The initiatives aim to raise diversity and social justice awareness, considering mainly the promotion of understanding and consciousness of DEI. So they've been getting rid of the standardized tests because less people with a lower average IQ manage to pass the test, so they can get more diversity in there. And then they have been mandating it that people that get taken on have to show how they have promoted diversity, equity, and inclusion in their lives, whether they've taken part in anti-racism programs and initiatives, for instance. And the initiative aims to get more non-whites into university and also to make people more aware of this left-wing idea of anti-racism and what they call here social justice. It should be obvious that as universities become increasingly obsessed with diversity, inclusion, and equity efforts, and devote more attention and resources to those efforts, they have reduced their attention, resources, and focus on merit-based outcomes, traditional educational goals, and academic competencies, and the equal treatment of all students and faculty, regardless of their sex and race. So what they've been doing is promoting non-whites at the expense of whites. So they no longer have equal treatment. And that's what this equity is. Notice they've changed from calling for equality for now calling for equity. Instead of wanting everybody to be treated equally, they want everybody to have the exact same outcome, which of course leaves no incentive for improvement, and it means people are being given the sort of accolades that you should get for being an excellent professor and what have you. They're getting all this simply because they're black or they're female or they're homosexual or whatever. University of Michigan Flint professor Mark Perry said, "Universities can prioritize true academic excellence and true equality, or they can prioritize diversity, inclusion, and equity efforts, but they cannot prioritize both goals simultaneously, because to focus on diversity, inclusion, and equity is to necessarily compromise on academic quality and sacrifice the equal treatment of all individuals." And again, if you don't have the equal treatment of all individuals, which individuals is it that are being penalized? And of course, it is white males. And we can see this in Liz Truss's latest picks for the cabinet. There is not one white male in her pick for the cabinet. It's full diversity, 100% diverse cabinet, nobody white in there. I think they do have the defence minister is still there, the white defence minister, and obviously there are other white ministers that are involved in the government. But all the important posts, the most important posts of the land, are now filled with non-whites. And of course, they're saying, isn't this a wonderful thing? Look at all this diversity. But it effectively means that all the white people have been replaced. Instead of people that have merit and the qualifications to actually fill that role, people have been put into that role just so that Liz Truss can say, look how diverse the cabinet is. I just hope that the cabinet does well. Some of them do appear to be on the right wing of the Conservative Party, so we may be surprised. She may have put in this diverse cabinet, and they may come up with all these right-wing policies, but I would love to see that, but we will just have to wait and see. Several universities require some sort of DEI statement, outlining applicants' competencies in diversity. I mean, what is it? What is your competency in diversity? How many white people you managed to replace at your last place of work? I mean, is that what it means? Applicants to the University of Tennessee are required to submit a diversity statement, which they are judged on, telling how they will help contribute to diversity and inclusion at the school. So I don't know if they're being asked whether they should be sort of telling the school whether they're black or whether they're homosexual and how they personally can improve the diversity, or whether they have any ideas on how they can replace more white males there, some initiatives to get more lesbians to join, perhaps. And that's what they're being judged on, not the qualifications, not the merit, not a recommendation from the last place that they worked, but how many white people they propose to replace once they get the job. Proposed regulations in June 2022 to the California Community Colleges Board of Governors would require community colleges in California to judge applicants and faculty applying for tenure on DEI competencies. Faculty and applicants will be judged on their understanding of anti-racist principles. Of course, anti-racist principles is critical race theory. It's all extreme left. And faculty applying for tenure, you should get tenure because you've done some incredible work in the field of your study. And what they're saying here is they're going to give people tenure just on their diversity competency, whether they're black or whether they're lesbian. DEI has also been implemented through guidelines in curriculums. The Association of American Medical Colleges released DEI guidelines on July 14th for medical schools, advising them to teach students to take their identity, power, and privilege into account when treating a patient. The guidelines tell medical professionals to address social determinants of health affecting patients and communities. So instead of teaching them to do their very best in medicine, they have to take identity, power, and privilege into account when treating a patient. So if it's a white patient, then obviously they have white privilege, so they should not be treated as well as somebody who doesn't have that privilege, I guess, is what they're saying. We have evidence that supports that race is a social construct, and there is a growing body of evidence about what race is and isn't, and its impact on health, John Barotti, President and CEO of AAAMC, told the DCNF. These new insights are improving medical practice and allow us to shift our thinking in medical education to better prepare tomorrow's doctors. And sadly, it's the opposite of that. Because they think race is a social construct, they're actually missing out on loads of help that could actually be given to people from these supposedly disadvantaged races. We know that different races have different statistics regarding the diseases that they get. Jews are likely to get Tay-Sachs disease. I think black males are far more likely to get prostate cancer. White people are more likely to get cystic fibrosis. Black people get sickle cell anemia. There are all these diseases that are associated with the specific races, and that would not be so if race was just a social construct. And they say that some of the machinery, the diagnostic devices that have been created for the medical industry, that they discriminate against black people because they're not so accurate with black people. But of course that's because they've been designed for white people, and it might be that it's a machine that looks through the skin to test something, and if you're black, you've got thicker skin, so it's going to be the machines aren't going to work as well. I'm thinking of those little clips that they put on your fingers that tell you the heart rate. Apparently they don't work so well with black people. And of course they're saying, well, this is because the machine's designer was racist. Well, no, it's because the races are different. They are physically different to one another. The biology is different to one another. So if they're teaching in these colleges that is not so, race is just a social construct, it just means that there's going to be more discrepancies between health outcomes between the races. They would be much better to just be truthful about the differences in biology between the different races, and then they could target the medical resources to people based on their race instead of saying, oh, it's just a social construct. So they're actually teaching the people at these medical colleges the opposite of what is actually going to help the supposedly disadvantaged races. Since November 2021, applicants for several departments at the University of California, Santa Cruz are required to submit a statement of contributions to diversity, equity and inclusion, detailing their past and future contributions to DEI. The school stated that the initial screening of applicants will be based exclusively on the research statement and the statement of contributions to diversity, equity and inclusion. So they're not going to look at anything else at all. Before the applicants can actually get through, before they get looked at for their qualifications, they are going to be judged on what their plans are for promoting diversity and what they've achieved in the past with promoting diversity. So completely regardless of whether they're any good at their chosen field of study. Universities also have stressed DEI in their admissions process, including Harvard University and the University of North Carolina, which have race-conscious admissions policies. The schools claim that even with the race-based policies, they still face problems with the representation of minority students on campus. So in those universities, they are literally overlooking white people, overlooking Chinese people, and taking on blacks and non-whites that don't actually pass the tests to get in, and they still don't manage to get enough blacks and non-whites in there. They're still not managing to actually hit their targets, even when they're taking people into the university just based on race. In May 2022, the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine exempted students from five historically black colleges and universities applying to their school from taking the medical college admissions test used to gauge a student's readiness for medical school if the student is accepted into an 8-week study program. So they don't even actually have to pass the test. If you went to a black college, one of these five black colleges, you don't even have to pass the test to get into medical school. All you have to do is go on a diversity program. And while in the program, students receive housing and a stipend to conduct research, participate in community service and career seminars. Princeton University created a diversity tool in 2021, so faculty can hire vendors and suppliers on their physical attributions as opposed to their qualifications. So the people that are supplying the school, the companies that make money from the school, they can be chosen on their physical attributions. They can be chosen simply because they're black. Vendors are filtered by race, gender, and sexual orientation through the tool, with a separate entity available for faculty to pick vendors just based off their ethnicity. So just excluding whites altogether. I mean, you put that round the other way, it's not that they're taking on black people, it's that they're excluding everybody white from being able to work with the school. The diversity tool is an aspect of the university's multi-year diversity plan to give a fresh commitment and energy in the pursuit of racial equity and inclusivity. So it's regardless on the performance of the companies, regardless of the performance of the tools and the equipment that they're actually getting from these companies. I mean, the tools and equipment could be useless. They could be far more expensive than a company that's being run by white people, but they'll still use that company simply because the people running the company are black. Almost every university in the country has adopted some sort of diversity, equity, and inclusion strategic plan. John Saylor, fellow at the National Association of Scholars, told the DCNF, if these plans are not adopted at the university level, individual schools and departments adopt them. These plans almost inevitably rewrite standards. Virtually every diversity, equity, and inclusion task force recommends moving towards holistic admissions practices or simply dropping standardized tests altogether. Often these plans push new forms of pedagogy that downplay the role of well-established standards, Saylor told the DCNF. So when they take these people on, when they ask them, what are your future plans for promoting diversity? They say, well, what we want to do is get rid of the tests, get rid of the admissions tests, and then we can improve the diversity. But of course, if you do that, you lower the standards. You cannot have this diversity, equity and inclusion at the same time as maintaining high standards. And this is why we see this grade inflation at the universities. This is why a university degree or a diploma, it rarely means that somebody has as much intelligence as somebody that used to get an O-level in the 1960s had, for instance. All the standards in the universities are dropping because of this big push to improve diversity. And what it means is that when diverse peoples do get to university and they do get their exam and they pass it, people are just going to look at them and think, well, you only got that because you're black. Whereas before, when it was very hard to actually pass these universities, if somebody from one of these underrepresented groups had passed the test, then you knew that they were super intelligent. They were the alphas from their particular racial group, and they obviously deserve respect for that. But what respect do people deserve just for being given qualifications simply because of what race they are or who they sleep with? I mean, they don't really deserve respect for that, do they? Whereas somebody that has worked really hard and achieved fantastic qualifications, and then they deserve the respect that they get. I mean, where is the sense of self-worth going to be for these people that are on these diversity quotas that have passed these exams? It just means that all the standards throughout society are lowering. And of course, it was only us nationalists that were talking about this, but now we're starting to see these sort of things talked about in the national press. So I suppose that's a good thing, at least. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.